Go ahead, Riot.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
Because it's their time. Their time. Up there. Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
You say that I'm eccentric, but it's really kind of cool with me. The evening is electric, so let's light up our eternity.
This is our time to light up the sky. Dancing with the devil, because it keeps me alive. Hold your breath, because we're coming to your town. Never see the sun, because we're rolling it down. This is our time.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How you guys doing? John, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Nick, you're nowhere near a microphone, but how are you doing? Nick's nodding. He's doing well.
I'm doing good.
Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Ryan. I'm next to a microphone.
All right. All right, this is a kind of a special Left for Ted because we don't have a real docket. All we have is one topic.
We're not talking about short bus special. Yeah.
We're talking about if there's still things hardcore games.
Our one topic is press. Is there any such thing as bad press or not?
Let's see who can sound the snarkiest throughout this without doing like 80% less punctuation and you know having an SAT vocabulary. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. 60% more. Better vocabulary.
I know, is that just innate vocabulary, or does he have to practice before he just starts ripping off like that?
Well, what I have to say is the feng shui of the whole thing is that we are counterintuitive to our process.
This whole controversy is nothing but an onomatopoeia, the difference of our First Amendment rights, you know?
Exactly.
It's like,
SATOMG.
Gotta speed it up, though. Gotta speed it up.
Yeah, okay, so
take a take.
So, yeah, fuck these onomatopoeia using...
And you also have to sound 20% angrier.
Rant.
I'm not feeling the rage, guys.
Wait. Now we have to go into... I have to go into fanboy mode. All right. So, these games, these AAA titles that say that they are the grandest and most inquisitive games of all, with the onomatopoeia and all of the adjectives that I cannot use, fuck, rant, best motherfucking game in the world. There. I think we did that. Though, John, I think you do that better.
Best motherfucking game in the whole motherfucking world.
Exactly.
But for your question, what is bad press or what?
Yeah. Is there such a thing as bad press or bad publicity?
Nope.
And I think what we have to do is... We have to define the difference between publicity and advertising. Because people don't seem to understand that there is a difference between those two things. Advertising is putting your product out there and for a price. Saying that it is, you know, the best motherfucking thing out there.
And Peter Molyneux.
Using that to drive sales. Publicity is not paid for. Publicity should be something that people don't get paid for by your company. So if I work for Microsoft, I'm not going to pay for good publicity. I'm going to pay for good advertising. Publicity is from a third party that has nothing to do with the product. It's not like IGN who's going to sit there and be like, Sony's the best thing ever when Sony owns a third of the company. So, I mean...
Well, if that's... Yeah. I feel any publicity is good publicity. I mean, I feel like the Mass Effect 3 marketing should have just been, our ending sucks, and then everybody would have bought it.
Yeah, that probably would be.
I'm like, what controversial ending? I'm buying it. Controversy creates cash. Perfect example. Look at Bruno Mars. When he got pulled over with cocaine possession, his record sales doubled, his album sales doubled, like, within the coming weeks. And there's that big controversy that his agent said, why don't you just go out and buy, like, drugs or something like that and get caught with it, so that way, you know, if you get your name out there, it could double your sales. There was that big rumor that was going on after that happened. But, yeah, it's true, negative press equals good press. Like I said, look at Bruno Mars. I mean, it worked wonders out for him.
I think it, the reason that we have this topic is because it translates into every market. You know, move any entertainment market, even freaking sports. Because Nick and John do Sportscast Prime, and negative, you know, what happened with was Alex Rodriguez?
Oh, A-Rod.
Or A-Rod. Not? There was A-Rod, and what was it was another Rodriguez, right? Maybe
which one are you talking
the
about?
Football player.
Oh.
What was his name?
It was.
Oh.
It started with an R. Ramirez. What was his name?
What's his name?
John. Oh, talk about Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito.
No, the Patriot.
The one
Aaron
that
Hernandez.
Aaron Hernandez.
Hernandez.
Hernandez. There it is.
I knew there was an A there. So yeah, Aaron Hernandez. His jersey sold. How much after he got, you know, charged with illegal weapon possession and possibly was a murder?
What do you think's his favorite formation, the shotgun or the pistol?
His mom, hers is the post bail.
Like, you can even say anything.
Did he get, I don't know, did his jersey sell more?
Yeah, his jersey sold out.
Okay.
Well, you could say it about anything, too. I mean, like, as much like the recent thing that we'll tune into, plug in Sportscast Prime right now, that will me and Nick are going to get into with the whole Donald Sterling thing. Say what you want about him getting that bad press for the racist, like, antics and his, like, demonstrative tone, but when is the last time we ever talked about the Clippers this much than that? And I don't want to hear, like, yeah, they're a good team. But, yeah, we heard about them that they're a good team. But yeah, now they're getting talked up more and more, like, you know, about, like, this was equivalent to the redheaded stepchild of the Los Angeles basketball scene to the Los Angeles Lakers. And even now, even when they have clear championship aspirations, you have that slumlord Stern who's still, they still are kind of the redheaded stepchild of the Los Angeles basketball sports scene. But I in my whole entire 27-year life period, this is the most I've ever heard being talked about the Clippers in this scene, too. You know, I mean, like if it wasn't for Donald Sterling and his things, we wouldn't be talking about the Clippers, but we would talk to him as the same breath as a San Antonio Spurs or a Miami Heat or a what's the other Western Conference team, Nick? Oklahoma City Thunder as championship caliber teams.
Yep.
Now they're a championship caliber team that happens to have a racist owner. So, like, yeah, you know, like,
so I mean, now in this whole retrospect, is there any of this press that's going to get downplayed?
Not anytime
is
soon.
Is there any press that gets downplayed to the point where it is bad publicity?
I mean, like, as long as the quote Eric Bischoff, for those of you who don't know, he used to be a head
WCW.
Operation at WCW and used to be with TNA and WWE for his time. He says controversy creates cash. He says the worst type of publicity is no publicity. I feel no matter what I feel any publicity you generate, like, as long as their eyes are on the product, as long as they talk about it. Like I said, like, I hate bringing back to the Clipper thing, but after those racist comments, yeah, you know, even when Mark Jackson was talking about boycotting, no, you know that home game in Los Angeles, everybody's going to be there. Everybody's eyes are going to be on that. Everybody's going to be there watching it. And I feel controversy. Yeah, like what Nick said, it's going to add nauseam because, like, there's only so much you can beat a dead horse with. But by the end of the day, if they're still talking about your product, you're doing something right. It only took a mistress and some racist comments and an illegal phone conversation to do it. But that's another topic for another day.
Ryan, you have anything to add on?
You know, I actually kind of disagree.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. I think in kind of a like, you know, in a drop in the bucket kind of thing, that's true. But, like, I can't remember her name, but that there's two of them. Like, there's two people who were, like, got big because they were just put their name out there for reality TV stars, and the one chick kept getting plastic surgery. And so, like, I'd say for maybe about 4 or 5 years, they were just all over the news, but half of that was just people saying, like, look how sad this is, mm-hmm. and then eventually it just kind of dries up. I think, any publicity will get your name out there and get your kind of your product in the limelight, and that's good, but I think that's short term. It doesn't grow the types of things people who want publicity want to.
Well, I agree with that.
Ted, when we were talking on there and I did the Dragon Age parallel, imagine if Dragon Age 2 was well-received and had good press and everybody was talking about Dragon Age 3, like, man, I can't wait for them to, you know, conclude the trilogy or what have you, but half of any conversation about it is, oh, man, and they messed up the last one so hard, and that could potentially impact sales of the third game.
We'll see.
Yeah, you know, word of mouth kept the second one in the spotlight for a bit, but it, you know, it's not necessarily good long term.
Well, see, this is what I feel with that aspect, Ryan, is where, like, it's just us as a society now. Like, people, we do a good job at picking apart stuff. If there's anything that I learned that what humans like to do most, that's pick apart stuff. That's crap on stuff. That's like nitpick and see every flaw, every plot hole, and everything, you know. Like, unfortunately, like, when it comes to pointing out really good things, you do get that vocal minority that, like, to, you know, like, circle jerk, but it's not as much as, like, all right, like, perfect example with the whole Mass Effect 3 thing. Like, if it had the best ending in the world, do you think it would get as much play as, oh, it's an amazing game, as opposed to the ending's good, oh, but the say sucks? Same thing with, like, you point out Dragon Age 2. Like, I don't feel like Dragon Age, like, I don't feel it would get as much publicity as if it was a really good successor to Dragon Age Origins. You know, you talk about it throughout the community, like, oh, it was just as good, if not better, than the first one, you know, as opposed to now everybody knows it's, oh, this is the game that could possibly destroy the franchise, as well as, oh, Mass Effect 3 could be the game that destroyed this franchise in BioWare as a whole.
Yeah, Ryan, I actually have to go with John on this one. Just taking something from movies. The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. How many times have you seen that fucking trailer?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen the trailer yet?
I saw it once, probably.
I've seen it, like, once.
I've seen it once.
But, like, so you've seen it once. How many fucking memes have you seen of this fucking trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, about the nose and how, you know. And how many people, just on the controversy, are probably going to go see that movie and make it number one in the box office when it comes out later on this summer?
I actually think, though, that you're talking apples and oranges. I don't think people are going to go on the controversy. I think that the element John was just talking about, that goes into my 3,000 angry people on the internet thing, if you guys have ever heard me say that.
Yeah.
I think that type of controversy is a small minority, and the average person is just like, oh, the Ninja Turtles, I remember them. So that controversy is mostly just butthurt fans. I'll admit, to some degree, I'm one of them. White Shredder created the Turtles. Excuse me.
Yeah, also,
but,
well,
like, nobody is reading me on Facebook and thinking, oh, wow, let me go see the movie and see what it is Ryan was ranting about.
I kind of have to side with Ryan a little bit here because of the long-term type deal. Because, yeah, it'll get you the press that you want for that short time being, but in the long run, it's going to die.
It won't sell your sequels, and everyone wants the franchise.
It's not going to go for you in the long run.
But not necessarily. I feel Dragon Age Inquisition might get more sales just because of the fact that people are like, oh, God, I hope they didn't fuck this up. There's my F word. Didn't fuck this up like Dragon Age 2.
You guys use that like...
I seriously doubt. Most people I see talking about it are kind of like on the fence. Yeah. Or they're super diehards like me who are going to get it anyway.
I'm the same way with it, too.
I just feel like if it was good, it would have been like going into Mass Effect 2 or 3. You know, going into Mass Effect 3, like, that game sold gangbusters before the negative press got out because everybody loved Mass Effect 2 too much. That was positive press.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're taking so much time for Mass Effect 4 and trying to distance from it because they want that bad press to die down.
It's just weird.
If they were just like, if they decide to go with Mass Effect 4 this year instead of Dragon Age, they're hoping that Mass Effect 3 has made everyone forget Dragon Age 2. They're trying to, like, they're playing roulette on their bad press.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also...
But the press still doesn't go away. I mean, like, look at Mass Effect 3. It's been 2 years now, and we still, like, I know I've had a discussion with a couple of friends, and I know people still, there's still YouTube videos out there on, like, the, and it's still, it wages on to
indoctrination theory, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, say what you want. Like, that's a good example of how bad press can still stay, because, like, yeah, like, you point out, it ebbs and flows. Like, you had the reality stars where that's the microwave controversy right there, you know, as opposed to, like, look at Mass Effect, like I said, 2 years later. And I think, too, and I think even, was it Dragon Age 2 came out in 2010, right? Am I right? So 4 years later, and I still hear people talk about it and talk about that shit too. So it's some of it.
But those are internet people, not real people.
But like,
I'm not saying
think,
that right. But Nick, like, I know you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But like, it's but like what we're saying. Like my original point was that it's situational. Like, we're talking about video games, and then you're talking about movies, and, like,
yeah.
You're talking about all situational things, and not everything. Like, bad press doesn't work for every situation.
So, here's what I think
what
we're getting at. What we're getting at
is. And also,
what's
the metric? Like,
yeah.
Like, bad press.
I mean, like, you can look at a reality show, and that can, like, be a big hit all of a sudden. It can die down real quick, and nobody will remember it for, like, next.
Kim Kardashian made millions off of generating her own bad press, but then eventually that has a shelf life, and she's probably done forever. But she's also made millions of dollars, so what is the metric?
Yeah.
Is it good that she got her name out there and got a TV show for a little while, or is it bad that she didn't do it through more legitimate means and therefore is done at the age of 30, whatever, however old she is?
Well, here's what I think. There is bad press. And the bad press is the press, or the bad publicity is the publicity that doesn't go anywhere.
Well let's talk. Let's ask Jerry Sandusky how he feels about bad press.
Yeah.
That will never go away.
But I mean, it's the bad press.
Or is that entirely different beast?
But bad press is the press that doesn't create the controversy, like John said. Bad press is the press that is out there. Fair example right now. During a press interview it was a whole press junket where they had Scarlett Johansson, Chris Evans, and Samuel L. Jackson talking about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, right? And one of the questions asked was, what do you think what modern achievement do you think Captain America should learn about now, or should be told about, or made aware of? Chris Evans said, you know, modern music, and he cited the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. I don't remember what Scarlett Johansson said, but it was something along the same lines type of thing. And Samuel Jackson, as a joke, said RedTube. All right. Now Samuel Jackson is getting heat from a couple of porn directors, who are also porn stars, that, you know, RedTube is taking away from their profits by putting different movies on.
I don't even know how this applies. Is that...
I don't know where you're going with this.
No. So what I'm saying is that...
Is that...
It's one story.
That's not going to impact anything ever.
Exactly.
It's
so that...
campaign boycott
well, that, this
Sam
is
Jackson.
This is another apples and oranges situation.
But here's the thing. That This is my example of bad press. Or bad publicity, because it's
but
not
does
going.
This put his, does this put
well,
Sam Jackson? At,
yeah, but
at
you're
more
you're
than
talking about a well-known, established actor. That's
no. What I'm saying is that
he's already out there.
He's already out.
No,
there.
No, I'm not saying it's bad publicity for Sam Jackson. Uh-huh. It's bad publicity for these directors, who are going after Sam Jackson, trying to get their stuff out there more, by saying, "Oh, shame on you for citing RedTube." It's not going to go anywhere. No one's going to fucking boycott shit. And it's going to die with this story. Therefore, it is bad press, bad publicity.
But to get back to what Ryan was saying about the whole Sandusky thing, there is also people, like, desperately trying to grab for negative press. Like, perfect example, ESPN was so desperate, or, yeah, to quote them, that, like, I guess it was kind of their jealousy that they're not the ones that first broke the Jerry Sandusky case. So they tried to, like, dig for stuff. And this is where the whole Bernie Fine sex scandal at Syracuse came up. They're like, oh, we have children who came, numerous children, like, and said that they were sexually assaulted by Bernie Fine. They were sexually assaulted by Bernie Fine, and the three sources they got turned out to be fabricated. You know how everybody wants to jump on their whole. You know when it seems like a sex scandal comes out, everybody wants to jump on that. Not to take nothing away from people who are actually sexually assaulted, but it's a disrespect.
Yeah, but you're talking about the news, that news frenzy, yeah, like yeah, Fox News when they were looking for the airplane, and Fox News was like leeching CNN's video feed.
Yes, or like I said, or like the whole. Well, what I was getting to is the whole sexual assault thing, where like not to offend anybody who was a victim of sexual assault, but there are those people who want to get famous, like Dave, I got sexually assaulted too. You know what I mean? Like, there are those people who want to do that just to be on TV. And it turns out ESPN found the three people that are just saying that just to get publicity. And now ESPN might face a multi-million dollar lawsuit because Bernie Fine had to move to Florida, had to like change his location, and he got fired from Syracuse. They basically ruined his life on factual evidence. So there is that publicity too, where like ESPN's like, oh shucks, we weren't a part of the bad news. Up, time to jump on this.
I would to take it to a lighter-hearted area.
Yeah,
I would also say that Xbox would agree, because bad press led to them to. Ted, we talked about this at one point, but a lot of that digital rights stuff that is a conversation that really we should be having had to get tabled because of bad press. So now it's just like, our system's exactly like a PS4, but with slower installs.
Yeah.
And, they shut out the gate a little weaker. You know, it kind of, if you look at the numbers now, it feels like they're the PS3 of this generation, where it's like they're there, they have their loyal fans, but they're probably not really ever going to realistically be number one this generation.
Yeah, even though...
Unless something, like, tragically terrible happens over at Sony, like a bomb explosion followed by, like, a really crappy Killzone game or something.
And then the Nigerians...
At the same time as, like, Halo 5 getting... Yeah, I just don't see how they're suddenly going to move, like, double the amount of consoles.
When the Nigerians hack their systems again and steal everyone's credit card information again.
But Ryan's right.
Yeah, it just seems like that early momentum was cost them, whereas they came in like the giants, like the on top of the last gen, and then they got, like, a crap ton of bad press, a lot of it deserved, because they just did not have their story straight before they went ahead. I think they weren't really ready to launch the console yet, but Sony was doing it, so they were like, all right, we got to get this box out there this year.
Well, it's funny because Sony, with their conference, kind of fell flat on their face, and I sat there and I'm like, you know what? If Microsoft, all they have to do, they can be bad, but, like, they don't have to, like, you know, they can be bad and say bad stuff, but they're not going to top Sony falling flat on their face. Well, it seemed like fucking Microsoft.
Well.
It seemed like Microsoft took me up on that offer. It's like, we can't. It's like, we can't fall on our face harder than Sony. Watch this, John. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And Nintendo, like... I don't know what you can say about no press, but Nintendo, to their credit, was kind of like, we're just going to be over here, like, you know, we got a Mario coming out this year, come play our games.
Yeah.
They just decided, let's generate as little, we're not even going to have a conference, you all know what you're getting, like, if you buy a Wii U, you're going to get a Mario, at some point we're going to put a Zelda on this box, you know, some Mario Kart, Smash Brothers.
Well, then they drop
really nice. If enough of you, it's almost like Kickstarter, if enough of you buy the system and we hit our stretch goal, we'll give you a Star Fox.
I feel bad, though, for Microsoft, because they're a sad case where it's like, you know, maybe that no press at all or that little press didn't amount to nothing because, like you said, the Wii U's in the red, where as opposed to out of the three-gen consoles right now, they're probably the one that is the most closely related to a console that plays fucking video games than, like, the multimedia conglomerates that is an Xbox One and a PS4. But unfortunately, with that little-to-no fanfare, you know... And that stigma of, oh, it's a casual game system, you know, unfortunately, it hurts. Which also, that's...
Should we segue the conversation into, is there such thing as casual and hardcore gaming?
I didn't mean for that. I was about to segue into that. That's sometimes how negative press can affect it, too, where it's like, you know, there's that stigma of the Nintendo, you know, yes and no, they are a little bit a part of that, you know... They make casual game systems and stuff, and that system, for some reason, like, if you get branded a casual gamer in the game community, that's, like, on par to being a pedophile now, like, and, like, really, it's... Yeah. It's It sucks.
PS3 actually saw a little bit of, you know, PS3 started to hit its stride going into the PS4, which is one of the reasons they did well, good press. I feel like they had some negative press in the beginning. Like, remember the PS3 has no games meme?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
My girl's, she hangs out with her friend. They play PS3 games. That's strange. But why? PS3 has no games.
Well, also, there was the songs. Remember the song, Wake Me Up When September Ends? And they had PS3 has no fucking games.
Well, like you said, the first year to two.
Everything I remember hearing out of PS3, like back in the early days, was like, it costs as much money as a Neo Geo. People get shot in the waiting lines trying to get one. It was just like, whoa, and it's like, and the only thing they have is Metal Gear. Like, that was, like, the story for, like, 3 years with the PS3. Like, it's overpriced, it has, like, two games, and people are attacking each other in the stores for them.
But like you said...
Like, even the Wii was super hard to find, but you never heard about anyone getting gutted for a Wii.
But, you know, you're absolutely right. That, like, three-year period where Sony kind of tanked, but, like, rebounded as, like, it progressed, you know, as, like, the PlayStation was kind of on going to its death cycle. Like, yeah, like, as they had the unfortunate thing, but not marketing it. It's like, all right, where are the games? Whereas opposed to, like, Microsoft had an excellent strategy where, like, all right, this is what's going to be out. This is what we're going to out. This is what the games are going to have, and we're going to pump them out early and often. And, like, everyone's like, oh, I want a 360. Like...
I mean, I have to agree with Ryan about something, just to bring some history.
Ooh, I've been agreed with.
I know.
Like, twice.
I know.
I already agreed with you, Minnie.
No, but just to bring some history into this, the Wii. Same thing. I remember I got my Wii. It was a refurbished one, like, right after they came out. It was $200, I think, because it was refurbished. But I know.
Yeah, because they were $250 new, I think.
Yeah, and Ryan was looking for a Wii, and every place that we went, even though he put his pre-order money down, like, they were sold out by the time he got there. And if I remember correctly...
Yeah, my first Wii pre-order, they tried to trick me into getting, like, three games on bundle plus an extra controller or something, but I already had games. This was early into where it was, like, there were only two games I wanted, and I already got them because they put me on a second wave of pre-orders. So I get there, you know, they just said pre-order a Wii console, $50 down. That was the pre-order I put down. I get there, and they're like, oh, we're only doing bundles. You're going to have to give us $400. And I was like, give my money back. I'll buy one of these at another store.
Yep.
A year and a half later.
Yeah, it took us
Good
a year
day,
and a half.
Sir.
And it took Ryan's ex to give him the second best gift she's ever given him. And that was
the
first
being a PSP with Kratos on it.
I thought the first would be your son, but okay.
Yeah, that's what that's what I thought too.
It was humor, laughter, people.
Okay, is that what it was?
I did love that PSP though. It broke, but I took the silk cover and put it on my my black PSP, so it's got a red battery cover with Kratos' face on it.
I am calling a social worker immediately.
But I remember, and it took us 3 hours to find that Wii as well. Because we went to every store in the Milford Orange area.
Suck on that, hardcore gamers. So,
if that's not hardcore gaming, spending 3 hours on a Saturday?
No, I was just saying, suck on that, hardcore gamers. The casual game system ended up being the best-selling system last generation, last gen.
Word, and you know... So-called, you know, it didn't have longevity, I would say, but, I mean, anyone who thought it had no hardcore games, like, I felt pretty hardcore when I was playing Twilight Princess and Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, which I wish went to other systems for online, but that was a pretty dedicated fighter, easily as good as a Marvel vs. Capcom game.
But those are Zelda, that's Zelda, they're selling you on the nostalgia dollar, that's not hardcore.
And then, you know what else, you know, my nostalgia, mm-hmm. Fucking House of the Dead 2 and 3. Which I still fucking have. Not to mention House of the Dead Overkill. Which is an awesome game.
And the Resident Evil clones that they put out?
Yeah, the Resident Evil
ones. Oh, the Resident Evil rail shooters?
Not just the rail shooters, they also had
Resident
Evil 4.
Evil Umbrella something? Umbrella Conspiracy?
Yeah.
The Chronicles. Umbrella Chronicles.
And the Dark Side Chronicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chronicles. Yeah, there were two of them that covered, I think it was like Resident Evil 1 through 3, and then like all the GameCube games or something.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're all... And, you know, it might not be hardcore, quote-unquote, but, you know what? I probably spent as much money at arcades playing fucking on the rail shooters, probably twice as much as I spent in arcades. I mean, I spent twice as much in arcades as I did on the games that I could play at home.
Wanna know why I think the Wii got
plus
that?
Plus virtual console, that was always kind of a sticky thing too, because people would like laugh at Nintendo because, oh, they're just leaking you buy all these games that have already come out. By the way, did you buy Turtles 2 and Symphony of the Night on 360?
You know why I think it gets that nasty label casual by the hardcore? Just because, like, going back to the whole thing we're talking about marketing, I mean, like, look what it was marketed towards. Like, you saw in the commercials, you saw, oh, my mom's playing the Wii, my grandma's playing the Wii, my, like, 2 and 3 year old niece and nephew are playing the Wii, and, you know, hardcore gamers.
That almost actually could be used to talk about my other point about the future of the press. You know, Super Nintendo used to be all about, we've got the most powerful system, look at the graphics, look at the games, we are gaming. And N64 was like the future of like 3D gaming, and they were just pushing that sort of image.
Yeah.
And then, but they also like started creeping into family friendly, which peaked on the Wii, and it worked for the Wii. It was like everybody buys their grandma a Wii in Brain Age.
Mm-hmm.
And but then it kind of, now they wonder why nobody thinks the Wii U has hardcore games.
I know.
Isn't that the system that like grandmas buy? You know,
yeah, I actually know a couple. I know a couple of grandmothers that have the Wii in their house.
My chiropractor has a Wii.
Yeah, I know.
And he uses it for his patients.
Mine didn't have the Wii, but I did talk her into a DS back in the day. On similar logic.
Man, our next generation's going to be screwed because we're going to be 50 still playing the systems. And like, what? This isn't cool. I'm actually going to go outside and play sports and stuff. No,
break your back in the
place. Yeah,
and I'll be in a nursing home, just like on some old CRT TV playing Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. And like our grandkids are like, "What? You guys play games?"
Yeah, right. It'll be like the equivalent of when I walk into a room and there's a patient who's like 70 years old, and what channel is he on? AMC, watching like John Wayne movies. Always, it's oh, Chisholm's coming on.
That's what my grandfather did.
That'll be us though, like. Like, oh, hey, they're playing the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, guys.
Yeah.
That's going to be my kid.
Oh,
granddad.
Oh, wait, you know what? I think this Super Mario Brothers Super Show can translate into one thing. That because we're not doing a regular show, we don't have So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. But can we have a moment of silence for Super Mario himself, Bob Hoskins?
Yes. So long.
Yes. 71 years old, died of pneumonia.
I still can't believe that.
It's 2015. Who dies of pneumonia?
I know.
There was no absolute silence.
Also,
the funny part about it is, too, Ryan, since you bring that
fair
up.
Fair enough.
I was at the gym yesterday, and on the TV, they're like, oh, some guy at the park, they had to evacuate him because he had a case of the measles. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, measles? What is this, Oregon Trail? Like, what the hell's going on here? Like, I thought, what? Like, that's like...
We had to close down the local friendlies. There's an outbreak of dysentery.
Yeah, seriously.
Dysentery, however you're supposed to say that.
That's like me calling work. I can't go to work today because I got a case of scurvy. It's like, what? Like,
I got some polio.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question. Has anyone seen any memes yet? Of, like, Mario, like, with his hand on Koopa's back as they're walking towards the pearly gates? Mm-hmm. Or Koopa with hand on Mario's back?
The only one I... Oh, yeah, hey, I didn't even think about that. No, I saw more of that from wrestling. Like, I saw one that was, like, Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man, and it was, like, Legends Reunited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no...
I did like that one. Did you guys see the one I posted? Some fan art someone did of Roger?
Yeah.
And he was like, so long, Eddie.
Yeah, that...
Looking all sad.
That was terrible, dude. I'm sitting there, I'm like, no, Hodgkins. Like, what... When I first saw
that... Didn't that picture make you feel like that one meme where it's like, try not to cry?
Yeah, that's also, what do you call it? I got the same thing when, what's his name, died? Harold Ramis died, and they had the picture of Egon going into the ghost trap.
Yeah.
That moment when Ryan put up that meme, I... It was my, you know those stupid chick flicks in which, like, the mother dies of cancer, then the person's talking to him like they're still alive, and everyone's like, they're dead. Like, no, no, say it ain't so. I saw that. I'm like, no. Bob Hoskins can't be dead. He can't be dead. And I'm like, all right, let me Google it. Bob Hoskins, he died. No. CNN's full of it. All right, let me look up this other. No. What? Oh, my God, he is dead. Like, that's the way I felt about it. Yeah. That was like my, no.
So, does anyone else get paranoid now? Like, yeah. I'm just like, one day they're going to be like, Sam Jackson died in the hospital after a week of complications you weren't aware of.
Yeah.
Seeing that Sam Jackson is older than Bob Hoskins was.
Yeah. Like, one day, like, you know who we don't see in the news much?
Robin Williams?
Sean Connery. One day, they're just going to be like, Sean Connery, acting legend, has died. That's going to happen within the next 5 years, probably.
That's the way I was like with Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac, I'm like, what? No? Really? He died of pneumonia.
Yeah, no, it's extra scary when it's, like, young dudes.
Yeah, especially.
Ultimate Warrior, too. I mean, 54.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially after watching him with that Hall of Fame.
50 years, not old.
After watching him with that, like, Hall of Fame speech, and then, like, I heard everyone, our friend Jerron text me,
just kind of talking about the future.
Ultimate Warrior died. I'm like, no, he didn't. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I just saw him talk.
Yeah, I just saw him on TV.
Paul Walker, there was so much confusion whether or not Paul was actually dead, because the day before he died, there was a death hoax that he disproved.
Yeah,
like his institute or whatever disproved death hoax like earlier the day that he actually died.
Same thing with what do you call it? What's his name? James Gandolfini. Oh. James Gandolfini, like two weeks before.
And then his agent's like, no. And he's like, well, never mind, guys.
Yeah, pretty much. That's
I only showed one person this because I felt super guilty, but I did my I took a picture from the first Fast and the Furious movie, and I captioned it with "Disproves own death hoax, dies." It was basically my take on Bad Luck Brian, because that's his character's name in the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
I felt kind of evil about it, but
it's just, oh, how did we get from this morbid to talking about?
Well, bad press.
On a lighter note...
There is no press worse than dying. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Dying typically is very good press.
Yeah, well, look at freaking Heath Ledger.
I'm sure 110%... I'm sure 90% of Brick Mansion's ticket sales are Paul Walker's dead, and 10% are people who saw... what was that movie called? District something...
District.
It's a remake of a French movie that was like on Netflix.
I remember what it was. District B13 or something like that?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, every time I saw it, I was like, is this like a District 9 sequel?
That's what I thought. Yeah.
You know, though, what you said...
I was like, oh, it's just some stupid French film.
Or how somebody you guys said with the press dying. Yeah, it seems like no matter all the bad things you did, unless you're the guy who started the anti-gay thing, like, that's never you... But, like, no matter the things, you know, like, perfect example what we said of...
Michael.
Yeah.
2 weeks before Michael died, he was this creepy, alien-looking pedophile guy. And then a week after he died, he's the king of pop. Here's 3 tribute video games.
Yep, pretty much.
Yep. Then there's... what?
Still see him as a creeper.
I'm just going to play kind of devil's advocate here.
Well,
Heath Ledger should not have won Best Supporting Actor.
Of course.
And the only reason that he did...
What was he up against that year?
Who was he up against?
He was up against me. I did that one movie.
He was up against John and...
Gary Coleman.
I didn't watch, so I don't know whether I side with you or not.
Or perfect example, look at...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, it was a pretty good performance, so unless he was up against someone who should have won it,
exactly.
I see someone winning it for that.
Or like you said, look at The Ultimate Warrior. He died, but prior to that, everybody known him as this... really conservative Republican who had out there views, who was extremely homophobic and had like and all that, you know, like he was just, and then he died and was like, oh man, I loved Ultimate War, all this, and it's like, okay.
No, I didn't pay attention to that side of his life.
His exact mental image too is like 20 years ago, Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, that's the only image I have of him. His other stuff, didn't pay much attention to.
Remember him as he was.
Yeah. person who couldn't speak English.
All I remember was his thing on his YouTube, because he had his own YouTube, like, account stuff, so he had these videos, like, that he talked to his, like, one warrior nation, and I remember his thing, like, it broke down the politics, and then it broke down his whole thing about gay rights. He goes, no, man, they don't have any rights. His, quote-unquote, queering, you can't start queering up the world. What's the part? That you'll have no world if everybody's queering it up. I'm like, wait, what? And, like, that totally put me to a back, because, like I said, like, Ultimate Warrior is one of the guys that got me into wrestling, and just hear him, like, total damnation and other, like, sexual and all that stuff was just shocking. I'm like, what? Ultimate Warrior speaking perfect English, and, like, wait, what? Queering the what? What?
I'm glad I didn't hear
it. Right?
All right, here's...
The only video I saw of him was...
Hulk Hogan.
That's the one I liked.
Talk about Hulk Hogan's hair extensions and stuff.
And they talked about the way he treated his family and his wife. Oh, my God.
But here...
That was one of the reasons, too, where, like, I didn't, you know, I felt bad that he died, and I was like, oh, man, you know, kind of an icon from my childhood.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I wasn't, like, a huge mega fan of him, because at the time that I was really big into wrestling, because I'm not, you know, you guys know I don't really watch it a whole lot now.
Yeah.
But when I was, like, really big into it, it was, like, kind of, like, during that rise of Hulkamania.
Yeah.
And they had that whole rivalry going, so I was always kind of like, fuck Ultimate Warrior, and all the video games would come out, it's like, Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Well, it's the same
thing. Like, I'm going to kick that... I'm gonna kick that colorful superhero wannabe's ass.
Well, it's the same thing now. Like, you know, perfect example. When Hulk Hogan dies, we're not gonna know him as the guy who has kind of like the messed up like family life with his like wife and like doing the sex tape and all
the crazy sex scandal. Yeah,
yeah. He's gonna be the guy. Oh my God, he's one of the best wrestlers of all day. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're gonna remember.
We're all gonna run out in the streets and rip open our shirts.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think people will remember his fucked up stuff because he put it out on television.
We're not. We're really not.
Yeah.
You know what's gonna happen?
Huh?
You know what's gonna happen?
Well, those who watch wrestling a lot won't.
Even the people that don't watch wrestling,
I doubt it.
Because Hulk Hogan was such a big name
in pop culture.
Hulk Hogan made wrestling cool back in the early 90s and late 80s.
That's true, but I'm saying and most people who don't watch it will not see him that way.
I think they will. I think you're going to hear
real
American
fan
in
the
streets.
Press from the people who are
from people who watch.
It'll be like guys like us posting on Facebook, and then people don't give a crap about wrestling. Be like, oh man, I remember that Hulk Hogan guy.
Yeah, sure.
Of course,
it'll just kind of pick up wings like that.
Yeah,
but of course, you're gonna have others who obviously are gonna put all the other shit out there too.
Yeah, I feel that's gonna be the vocal minority, whereas the majority, people who don't watch wrestling, my God, Hulk Hogan got me in the wrestling when I was a kid, or I used to grow up watching it. That's why I feel like Hulk's gonna get that like kind of nostalgia thing going.
Yeah, that'll definitely happen.
Does anyone else have that friend or two? By the way.
With what?
The self-imposed, someone's die, stop talking about it, here's a CNN article from 30 years ago about how he beat his wife person. Whenever anyone dies and everyone's going on for like more than a day, I've got like two people who I can pretty much count on to just show up with the, here's an article about fuck that guy.
No, yeah. I wouldn't say I'm like that, I would just say fuck him anyway, so... That's my thing, so...
Well,
that's just me, though.
Just like how I feel like you're right, though. There'll always be those guys who are going to be like, I'm not going to support that. Like, look what we were talking about recently. When Sean Connery, whenever he goes, there's going to be those one or two assholes like, oh, remember to comment when he put up that, yeah, it's okay to beat a woman every now and then, fucking wife beat. You know, they're always going to be those people.
Definitely.
I'm not even necessarily saying that person is wrong. It depends on case by case, because there are some people who are definitely like, if I see one more post, and I'm like, you realize it's most likely one post per person. So if you've got 200 friends and you see it, you know, 100 times,
well, you can see where that gets annoying.
You're being spammed. It means 100 different people had a similar thought at the same time, you know? Yeah.
But it does bring up an interesting point, what Nick said before with the whole Michael Jackson dichotomy. Like, what do you remember him as? Like, you know, like,
You do have people who say that.
You do have people who say, Michael Jackson, he's an overrated musician who molested kids, or the guy, people will bring up, yeah, Michael Jackson died, but he molested his kids, or he molested kids, or he was weird, you know, like you said, he looked like an extraterrestrial. There will be the majority of those people who remember him.
Like the majority. It's really weird, though, because that was the majority, I feel, before he died. And now, though, it's like Michael Jackson, cross yourself, rest in peace, the king of pop.
Yeah, because, like, you forget all the bad stuff because you want to remember all the good stuff. I can understand that.
Yeah,
but
like...
I'm saying, like, it's not
when
all
Mel Gibson goes, like, there's going to be a couple of us who are like, you guys remember the anti-Semitism?
Yeah.
But there's going to be, like, for every one of us, there's going to be, like, another 50 people who are like, Lethal Weapon Marathon!
Yeah.
I'll actually probably you're gonna get best, the best be like, or the I'll remember worst what I liked world, about definitely. Him, yeah. but also
it's
fuck
just
that guy.
Gonna happen that
you're right, unless there's going to be somebody who did something beyond belief terrible that there's no justifying Chris Benoit, you know, like, where, like, you know...
Yep. You found the threshold right there,
didn't
you?
There's going to be that vocal minority that, like, I go on wrestling forums, and it kind of makes me sick how people say, he's still a great wrestler, you know. I don't care about all the stuff he did, you know, like the matches. He's still a great wrestler, you know. You have to discern the
ingrate. Yeah, who cares about the murder-suicide?
You have to disassociate from the in-ring character from the out-ring character, you know what I mean? It's two totally different things. I'm like, yeah, but, like, I'll sit there and watch a Chris Benoit match. They're still in the back of my head, like, oh, man, it's a good match, but he still killed his wife and kid. Like, I'll always, you know, like, it sucks like that. Yeah. Like,
well, I also...
Like, I won't have that with Hulk Hogan. Like, if Hulk Hogan died, like, man, I'm going to watch this Hulk Hogan match on YouTube. Yeah, he had that sex scandal. It's not, like, going to be the sex thing. I'm not going to think... I'm going to think of with Chris Benoit, like, man, this is a really good match, but he killed his wife and kid, you know, like...
I kind of feel like that with Chris Brown. Like, I saw that movie with the dancing. I can't remember the name of it, but the one with Josh Holloway, where they had that dance competition.
Yeah.
Step Up?
Does anyone know what movie I'm talking about or have a name off the
top
of their head?
Is it Step Up?
I'm trying to remember what that is.
Say that again?
There's that movie starring Josh Holloway from Lost. He played Sawyer on Lost, and he was like... It was like the Mighty Ducks if everyone was kind of like a young adult.
Dance
and it was
me?
About dance. It was like this guy wanted to fund a dance competition at this international thing, and it was a real thing. Like the end competition was like real footage from the competition.
Is that You Got Served?
And
no, it's not being dumb.
You Got Served-ish, but with like real dancers and stuff.
The FP.
Yeah, it came out like last year. I don't remember. Anyway,
the FP.
That's not the point. So I went to see it because like kind of like
about.
All right, looks like
something around the world. I think that was something Step Up something. I think that might
is it
have been.
Step Up Around the World?
Something
Step Up All
world?
Or Nothing?
No, it's not the Step Up franchise.
Oh, it's not that? Okay, then
it,
I don't know.
It was probably
no.
The FP? Maybe?
No, it had words for a name.
Oh.
Okay. All right, I'm going to...
No, I'll look it up later, but that's not the point. I thought that the story about how, like, this is actual, like, footage and real people from this competition was cool, and I wanted to support Josh Holloway because he doesn't seem to get a lot of work now, but I liked his work on Lost. And I'm watching the movie, and Chris Brown comes out, and I'm like, oh!
Oh,
damn it, I gave him money.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot what that was called. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I remember seeing
it. It was hilarious, though, because he has to, like, he
has to
like,
dance for America
Power Rangers
and they're,
out
like,
at the end.
Going up against,
wait, what?
China or Japan or something like that.
He, like, well, he's showing his best move right before the big competition. He does, like, this over-the-top flip and just, wrenches his back out, can't go. Because the actual competition is real dancers, and Chris Brown can't do that.
I remember seeing, was commercials for it, and was it like he was saying something to a group of people, and was it a female who dissed them or something like that, or somebody said something and everybody started laughing, and I remember going to my girlfriend making a joke like, oh, if that was real life, he would have beat the shit out of her, but like, you know, like, I know what you mean with the whole like Chris Brown negative press thing, but it's like, what'd you say
probably,
about my dancing
probably,
bitch?
Yeah.
Just like smacking around.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, basically like whenever I don't want to involve myself in a project that Chris Brown is in.
You're not the only one. Me and Ted and Nick have a coworker who says, I like Chris Brown's music, but I'll pirate it all online illegally and listen to it because I'm not going to support a woman beater.
Battle of the Year.
I don't want to listen to his music.
Battle of the Year.
Yeah.
Battle of the Year.
You know, just so the ladies who listen to us know, this may be the misogyny cast, but we have standards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what?
And we respect you.
I'm also the asshole that did the meme... of Rihanna with the black eye that said Chris Brown's greatest hits.
Yeah, I remember that, Ted.
People still listen to Bobby Brown, too.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not act like we won't remember what he did. So.
And he got Whitney Houston hooked on drugs.
So,
Bobby Brown?
Supposedly.
Everybody,
sorry,
everybody remembers that. So,
but the thing about...
I'm about to say, that's primarily what I think of when I think of Bobby Brown. I don't really listen to his music.
Me neither.
My
prerogative.
The thing about
anyone here an Ike Turner fan?
No. Terrible. Ted raised his hand. Ted raised his hand. Everybody.
Bring it to those Chris Brown.
Shame on you, Ted.
I am giving away his address.
Bringing those Chris Brown things. And I hate those women who are like, I let Chris Brown hit me. Look how good. I'm like, you know what? You're an idiot, all right? Like,
I've heard those people.
I don't condone domestic assault, but you know what? You deserve a stiff right. You deserve a stiff right hand across your face.
Any
for that
girlfriend,
one.
Any girlfriend Chris Brown has post Rihanna, deserves it.
Yeah, it's
because you know it's out there. You can't not know.
I can't say like I let Chris Brown hit me. All right, I want you to take a knuckle sandwich to the face, straight up to the face from a dude. To tell me how it is. All right, to tell me you take it. Then come on, get the hell out of here.
All right, so what are thoughts on Mike Tyson? Because I find I'm more lenient these days on Mike Tyson than Chris Brown because he genuinely at least portrays himself publicly as penitent, like almost like kind of born again. He's all peaceful. He's not biting anyone's ears off anymore. He's not beating women. He's like kind of preaching peace and getting along. And he's been in rehab and jail and.
And he's the guy who's like, now like taking care of pigeons and stuff. Yeah, seems like the.
You know what I mean? Like yeah.
You can't. Well, if you watch the fight, you're never going to get the image of an air being.
Oh, I remember that.
And I watched it. So, like, yeah. I mean, of course he's, like, you know.
Or him supposedly, like.
He seems like the guy in the martial arts movie who's, like, teaching the, like, school/monastery. And someone shows up because back in the day, turns out 30 years ago, he was this terrible warlord who raised a village and killed kids. But like, nowadays, he's, like, the coolest guy and he, like, raised the main character. So now he has to answer for his past.
Yeah, so it's kind of like
Mike Tyson is Parthenax from Skyrim.
You're right though, because what are you gonna remember Mike Tyson for? The guy, the born again, you know, guy who's like, I cleaned up my life and now I'm trying to like do all the right things, you know, repent for my sins, or the guy who bit off Evander Holyfield's ear and supposedly like.
Well, I know what Evander Holyfield's gonna remember about.
Well, really kicked the shit out of Robin Givens. Who was him that did he marry? Was it Robin Givens that he married?
Yeah.
Like I said, the guy who bit Holyfield and beat the shit out of Robin Givens and raped the chick, supposedly, so.
Well, my position has always been, if you get headbutted a few times by Evander Holyfield, I don't hold anything against you, whatever you do to him, because that's a big fucking head.
I believe that he got carried away. Yes. I think that
he headbutted
teeth
him three
to the
times.
Ear was an extreme illegal response.
Yeah.
I'd be extremely pissed if I got headbutted by a head that big.
Or how many people feel about here's another example. How about Kobe Bryant?
Oh yeah.
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 Or what about Ray Lewis?
Yeah, I still see Kobe Bryant. I think as a scandal.
Kobe or Ray Lewis an accessory to a murder supposedly.
Let's be honest.
Was it Daniel Tosh had that joke or was like hate me because of my work ethic? And he's like, does he really not know why people hate him?
Yeah.
Are we going to remember Shaq because he couldn't throw three throws?
Shoot free throws.
We're going to remember Shaq because
of Shaq. No, it's
true.
He does throw three.
Yeah, you're right. It is more of a throw than anything.
Or are we going to remember, you know, Shaq Fu and Kazam and Steel?
Well, nobody remembers Kazam.
No, nobody remembers.
But it's totally different than like it's totally different than Kobe Bryant flat out supposedly that night in Colorado raping a chick. So
yeah.
It's different. Well, different.
R.
Like,
Kelly, how about R. Kelly?
You know, here's the thing. I judge Kobe. You know, not in this like we shouldn't judge. Blah blah blah. Yeah. But like I judge Kobe more on the impropriety of the situation and the fact that he's married, and then afterwards his wife was like, "I'm standing by my man." I don't actually think he raped her because they're like, that we found no evidence of like bruises and stuff, but we found like six dude seed in you.
Yeah, no.
So I'm like, that wasn't a rape. That was a consensual gangbang.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
You found out that she only sued the one guy. Richest guy in the room was the one she sued.
No, yeah. I believe it too. And then the stories leaked out too, how she had sex with like three other guys, like in like a 2-night.
I thought I heard the number six, dude. I thought they said six.
It's something like that. Like during a 3-day span, she had sex with multiple dudes before Kobe Bryant, and so then they're like, oh, crap. Like they're like, oh, I'll settle out of court.
Natural response.
Yeah, once they found that, you notice that case dried up real quick.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, all right. Here's another one. Yeah. President Bill Clinton. What are we going to remember about him?
That is an awkward one because it's almost like borderline the Mike Tyson way, but Not quite. It's, like, you still think about it.
It's
yeah. You think about it, but it's
like when he went out there and he like he I feel like he crushed the Republican Party and won that election for Barack Obama. He went out there and just saved the momentum that was being lost. And he's out there doing peace missions. And but every time I see him, I'm like, man, Bill's really doing something. He's a powerful force. And man, that scandal though.
Yeah. Well, because like
it's always there in the back of my head. Like every time they show some happy family picture, like greetings from the Clintons, and it's like the two of them plus Chelsea, I'm like, that family really stayed together for the politics.
I always saw it as, I'm like, the president, I got a blowjob.
You know, it's like the time that Monica Lewinsky visited my grandparents at their dry cleaners.
Really?
Yeah.
True story?
She went and she brought a dress to get get cleaned at my grandparents' dry cleaners. And she was pointing out a stain, and she's like, I need this stain. Right to come out, and my grandfather's a little hard of hearing. He goes, "Come again?" She goes, "No, peanut butter."
But he's right, though. You're right with the Bill Clinton dichotomy because, like, people remember him. Like, I remember him. Yeah, the sex scandal, but also, like, oh, he did so much good for this country and all that stuff. But like, it's like the exact opposite of like. I feel like now, like. Whereas I view George W. Bush as this, like, war criminal who happened to be a terrible president. But I feel like now people are now people are looking at him in a light because now it's so cool to make fun of Obama. Everybody's kind of viewing, like, Bush's, like, eight years of reign of terror in a somehow people are...
In a positive light.
Yeah,
every time I see that Miss Me Yet meme, I'm like, nope, not even a little bit.
Yeah, I can't stand it how some people, like, view it. It's like... or it's like, man, he's worse than Bush, or like, see, man, Bush didn't do so bad. I'm like, I won't go that far. He's a war criminal.
Yeah,
we
haven't. Gone
yeah, like,
any
I don't
wars.
Know. I don't know if anyone saw on Facebook. I had that argument with my dad where he had a picture of Bush, and it was like hard to blame me when it's called Obamacare. And I was like, all right, can I blame Bush for the thousands of dead soldiers and blame Obama for the 8+ million insured?
Mm-mm.
I'm okay with that.
And can we blame for No Child Left Behind? Come on.
Oh, God.
No, we can blame Hillary for that one. But I'm not a fan of Hillary Clinton's.
Apparently.
But
oh, yeah, no, let's not go crazy here.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said...
People keep talking about, like, next time, man, it's time for Hillary. And I'm like, can it not be? Is there going to be a primary? Do we have other choices?
Just get Chris Christie in there and I'll vote Republican this year?
Chris Christie's probably done.
Can we like swap that?
I'm just envisioning this weird future where it's like Hillary Clinton versus Rick Santorum, and I'm just like, who's the Libertarian candidate?
He's running.
No, he said
you're just using an example.
He said that's his nightmare scenario.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Well, come on. Look at the. Who was I talking to? I always say who was I talking to because I forget. But The last election where I was kind of like, you know, open to seeing, you know, not against Obama, I just wanted to see what was out there. You know, I followed the Republican races pretty closely. I was like, things are going pretty slow. I'm not blaming Obama, but I do want to see what the Republican candidates think they can do about it. Show me something. And who do they give me? Like Donald Trump? Freaking, we were talking about it, weren't we? Because you had to correct me on Kane's name.
Yeah, Herman Kane, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So far, it's
Herman Cain out there quoting Pokemon songs and
it was funny,
you know, like two Mormons.
I loved how he kept showing up on like the Daily Show, and he like made fun of himself.
Yeah.
Herman was hilarious.
Yeah. Herman Cain was the
he was a funny guy, but like a Pokemon quoting pizza guy, two Mormons, the best they could get the Republicans to crush Obamacare was the father of Obamacare. It was a bad circus. It was hilarious.
No, you know
don't
what
forget
it was?
Bush Light over there in Texas.
It was American Idol. That's what it was.
Yeah, right?
Did we say
that? Didn't it feel like that primary cycle went on way too long?
Yes.
Can we say like...
Didn't they start early?
I think they did.
No. Can we say like the Republican like... primaries was kind of like the precursor to the Xbox One reveal where they're like, okay, Democratic Party, you want to give us Obama? Well, we'll fuck this one up.
Well, wasn't
here
it
you
like,
go, man.
Wasn't it like the most entertaining television you've seen? Like, you know, not perfect.
Some of it was. Oh, that the RNC convention where they're like, here's Clint Eastwood talking to a chair.
I was like, why are they getting Clint Eastwood to talk for them?
Basically,
basically,
the Republican primaries was like, let's see what white dude can bring white people back a couple hundred years. That's what it was. Like,
Oh, man.
And speaking of bad press, the 47% comment that leaked out about Mitt Romney, and also think back to the RNC. Remember where it was like black people would be there like for CNN and stuff, and there'd be like people there throwing popcorn at them and telling them to get back in their monkey cage? They couldn't contain that image of like, no, we're not racist, and Democrats are really playing the race card, and it's like, yeah, but for some reason your party attracts the racists, and you let them in, and you don't say anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
nobody goes to the DNC and throws popcorn at the black people.
No.
No, it's at the white people, but...
Yeah, but that's other white people.
It's true.
No, yeah, because I don't throw popcorn, I eat it.
White devil.
Right?
Yeah, and it's usually...
I'd be happy if someone's throwing popcorn at me. You're like, hold on, I can catch that.
Yeah.
And it's usually the overhyped blonde chicks that are, you know... They're like, I'm not racist because I fuck black guys.
Or the
quote-unquote... Like, I've been sitting there, I know.
Oh, like Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Or the quote-unquote social justice Tumblr warriors, but...
It's just like, it feels like if you can keep an account of how many, like, whatever race of friends you have, you're pretty much racist.
Yeah.
I have 5 black
friends. Yeah, that applies for anything, too. If you're like, I have a gay friend.
I'm not against gays, because I have 1 gay friend.
Oh, no, that was, Bill Burr had that joke that he was like, real racism is quiet, it's behind closed doors, you know, I'm not racist, but insert X fucked up comment about Y group of people.
The gays. If you say the gays, you're pretty much a bigot.
The gays. The gays. Yeah. The gays, the blacks. I'm a good friend of the blacks.
The blacks.
Oh, did you know that they don't like to be called the blacks?
The blacks.
Yeah.
The gays.
They also don't like...
You know what, too? On the other side of that spectrum, I'm tired of the word community.
Huh?
This impacts the black community, and I'm like, who is the black community?
It's like, I don't know.
Who is this
dude
on the news that is speaking for me?
I will admit, I do get sick of that term sometimes.
Ryan, the black community is Joel McHale in blackface.
Well, when I think of community, I think
Jesse Jackson is not the emperor of black people.
Yeah, but what,
he told my dad he was.
Ryan's right, though. When I think of community, like the black community, I just think of this, like, I think of, like, Skyrim, like, Winterhold, just, like, this, like, fucking gated thing, like, community of, like, where, like, so is it, like, in a gated community where black people live and, like, Al Sharpton's, like, the leader, just, like, the friggin',
Or what was the name? What's the name of the orc community?
I am not from Hammerfell.
And they, like... You know
Damn
what I'm
it.
Talking about?
Yeah, the orc
Skyrim, there's an orc community, and they really... It's just a bunch of angry green dudes, and they do not want to let you in.
Hostergard or something?
I know.
Well, even then, though, like, when I was an orc, they gave me the whole... You know how, like, back in the day when you'd be, in the South, they like if you like black people and you're white, you know, they call it
like an Uncle Tom kind of thing.
Yeah, that's...
When I was a high elf, and I thought I'd be cool with the Thalmor, and they were like... You're not one of us.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I went to one of the orc strongholds. I'm like, you've been outside and you talk to Nords, Nord lover. I'm like, yeah. What? I'm like
dude.
Yeah, one of the Thalmor was like, you worship Talbos, don't you? And I'm like, I'm an Ulmer.
Yeah.
You don't worship the 9 Divines. What are you, crazy?
Jeez.
I'm like, racist orcs.
And then, like, if you are Hammerfell, which I chose to be for one of my characters, I got, like, 3 of them, like, in the beginning... Nice. Like, they're like, the guy's like, prisoner, who are you? He's like, what are you doing all the way from Hammerfell? I was like, God damn it, I'm not from Hammerfell.
Yeah, like, if you get that too. Like, if you play an Argonian, they're like, are you related to one of the dock workers in Rift 10?
So in my mind,
I was like, yes, I have a sister who works in Riften. I'll go make my home in Riften.
Or, like, if you're Khajiit, he's like, stole anything lately? I'm like, really?
Yeah. Oh, they're so mean. I hate that too with the Khajiit. It's like the Khajiit are so untrusted. They're not allowed at all within the cities, except for you, because they can't make you not go into the cities because you have to play the game.
Exactly.
You
I was like,
around.
That's
like,
weird.
Yeah, I got a pass.
I wish they would have changed the dynamic of the game that kind of way, depending on the characters you chose. That would have been interesting.
You know, the other cat cheat, and the realm must have been looking at you like an Uncle Tom.
I know. Like,
looking up, there goes the human's pet.
Yeah,
fucking bastard.
That's why my Khajiit, I made him part of the Dark Brotherhood, so that he kind of wasn't really part of, like, the... You know, I only went places when I had to as the Dragonborn.
Yeah, I made mine a Dark Brotherhood member as well. But the other two, I had them kill them.
Yeah, in my High Elf, like, I started out, like, pro-Empire, yay, Thalmor, until they sent a death squad at me. I was trying to chat up this female Thalmor on some random pass. And she got mad at me, and she was like, I'm going to accuse you of Talos worship. And I was like, no, but I don't. She was like, but if I say you do, you do. And then she attacked me, so I had to kill her, and then her two guys came back at, so I had to kill the three of them, like all three together.
Jesus.
So they started just sending random death squads at me throughout the land, so eventually I was like, all right, you know what, let me go talk to Ulfric. Hey, you want me to win you a war?
Wow, this... Yeah, the Thalmor keep coming after me. I'm like, what the fuck?
This conversation kind of turned
but I was a high elf.
Bad press.
I was a high elf.
You were like, a high elf, and this
me.
Happened?
So I went to Mr. Anti-Elf and won him a war because I'm the Dragonborn and they chose the wrong side.
So Jeez. How do you feel?
I was like, you know, it was like how I play Monopoly. It's like you tick me off of Monopoly and I'm like, I quit. I give all my money to Chris. You know what I mean?
I see.
I was like, you want to make me your enemy? You want me to be your enemy? I will crush the Empire and then I'm coming for you.
As long as I get Boardwalk in the other one, I'm fine.
So speaking of, like, Skyrim and stuff, can't you put that under the good press category where it's like, well, where do you attribute that, the Skyrim dichotomy?
Skyrim? Good, I guess.
Like, I mean, like, the promotions and stuff, because it is, I think it got...
Yeah, because it did go, how do games go mainstream?
Because,
previous entries weren't, but I think Oblivion had a lot of good press, and there was a lot of underground word of mouth from Morrowind.
I didn't get a lot of, like when I was into games like I was back then, I didn't hear too much about the series up until... I guess it's because I wasn't into that.
Yeah, it was kind of underground and, like, a lot of PC people.
Okay.
You hear it now, too. People are still like, Morrowind is the best Elder Scrolls. I can't. I've tried a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested in trying Skywind, if they ever finish that mod that creates Morrowind with the Skyrim engine.
Okay.
I like the Skyrim engine, so I will try to, you know, experience those stories and see those locations... With Skyrim gameplay, I'm so, all for it.
That's
well,
a piece,
just,
that
the engines
PC
back
thing,
then. You know, I've tried to play Oblivion 3 times on different occasions. I tried it when it was fresh, and people were like, oh, if you have a 360, this is one of the games to get.
I didn't
get into it.
I think you can download Oblivion.
After getting super into Fallout 3, I was like, all right, maybe now I have a taste for the Bethesda style. Let me try Oblivion again. I still couldn't get into it. And then after beating Skyrim... I was like, you know what, now I like Elder Scrolls, let me try Oblivion again. Nope, still couldn't.
I'm like that, I was like that too, because my brother got it, and my brother played Oblivion, and I'm like, and I tried to, and I'm like, no, this is like Dungeons & Dragons on speed.
The face mods make me want to puke, like whenever a character talks, I just feel disconcerted.
Yeah, and they like have to, that creepy stare at you. I'm like, oh no. And then, then I played Skyrim.
Their mouths move like Sonic Adventure. Yeah. Characters just like out of sync with their voice.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, sorry, Patrick Stewart, but you being in the first 5 minutes of the game is not selling me on this. Like,
oh, how about Patrick Stewart being sold the way Ron Perlman was sold for Fallout 3? Where,
yeah,
they market Fallout 3 with Ron Perlman's voice, and you realize that was it for Ron Perlman.
Well, it's the same thing with what...
With that voiceover right there. Patrick Stewart, it was like, Patrick Stewart's in this game, he's the king, and they don't tell you, and he dies 10 minutes in, literally.
Same thing with, what the hell's his name? Taken.
Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson's in Fallout 3. Oh, he's my dad, cool. Oh, I only get, like, 5 dialogue things with him. He goes, son, I'm gonna die. I'm like, what? No, Dad.
Because you have to find him, and then I did feel a bit of a connection. Like, I played kind of a daddy's boy, my first character, and I kind of like I felt it, and I murdered that dude at the end because he killed my dad. And
I'm like, no, Ra's al Ghul, don't die. I want to learn.
I think that was used kind of.
No,
okay.
Aslan.
Yeah. But yeah, like. Yeah. But I never heard of Oblivion until, like, I didn't hear about the marketing to it until my brother. Then, like, Skyrim, they went, it was kind of like what, I know, Ted is not a big fan, but the Rage of Hulk, kind of like when you went full Boren with the whole Mass Effect, like, I don't remember a promotion for Mass Effect, but for Mass Effect 2, even back in, like, when it was coming out, I remember watching sci-fi, I remember the 4-part specials, I remember the commercials hyping the shit up for this game. I was like, oh, wow, Mass Effect 2, huh?
I remember the commercials. I also remember the commercials for Mass Effect 3.
into
Take Earth Back.
Yeah.
Well. Oh,
was that the one? That was the one with Big Ben, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just started in Big Ben and just, yeah.
I just remember the commercial with the little girls playing in the cornfield or whatever, and the Reaper's coming down. So that out of nowhere, here comes Ashley, Commander Shepard, and somebody else. And Shepard's like, "I'm going to jump on top of a Reaper and use my Omniblade." I'm like, "No."
Well, you know, here's another.
That
video
is one
game.
Thing you should not do when you see your brew is jump at it to melee.
Yeah,
playing a Batarian, then go for it. If you're a multiplayer and you're playing a Batarian or a Krogan, go for it, but not as a human.
Another video game that got really good press before it came out.
Oh, but that took me out too. The Taking Back Earth thing, which is like at the end, not really.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying.
It made you feel like it was going to be like Dragon Age, where you're going to be commanding all the forces you gathered. And really, it was going to be like, rush the Citadel for cinematics.
Mm-hmm.
But no, another video game that's not Mass Effect that had really good reviews before it came out and everything like that. Really good press. Really good publicity. Really good advertising. Was Dead Island.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All these people.
With an awesome cinematic trailer.
Yeah.
That totally lied
it's
to
even
our
more
face.
Awesome
that
if you play
lied.
It in reverse.
Yeah, but.
That's
all,
what turned me off to
everyone,
a lot of games that are like it.
Everyone bought the pre-order and everything like that. And then the game came out, and a lot of people, like, moved their pre-orders to another game, something like that, and it didn't sell well.
Because the word
and
got
it
out.
Just, what do you call it? For me, it's. I like the game. I really like the game. It's a. You know, the four-person or the four-player element of the RPG story is very, very well done. Yes, it's buggy as shit, don't get me wrong. Like, that game, it probably shouldn't have gone out as it did. The patches that came out in the weeks to come.
Yeah, it makes you feel like who made this game, Obsidian? Yeah.
But no, the patches that came out that fixed it, but it took, you know, probably a good 6 months to fix every patch, like to patch everything.
But it just feels like the lying of the whole thing, like the awesome cinematic, they made you think one thing in which the game wasn't exactly what it was going to be. Like, you could do, like, press, like, basically lie to your face. Like, I don't want to, I'll go back to, like, just really quick for you. It's kind of like the Mass Effect 3 thing. Like, look at the commercials, take Earth back, and it really wasn't Take Earth Back. It was more like, oh, this is Call of Duty sci-fi edition, basically. Whereas, Dead Island was like, oh, I'm in for this dramatic experience. This is going to be a different dramatic zombie game in which you set there. It's like, oh, wow, no, it's not. It's a glitchy, you know, glitch fest that is nothing like what the trailer I thought it was going to be like, so.
Oh, yeah, and the characters in the trailer weren't the characters,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and things like that. But
I returned it.
Shame on you. But then, you know,
I was lied to.
Everyone, you know, yeah, they had all these orders and everything, and then the sequel came out. And the sequel, you know, they were just like, "Oh, look at all the crap you'll get with the sequel," you know, a fucking bikini-clad zombie bust,
a blowjob,
yeah. And a sealed book edition, which I still have, I don't think it's up there anymore.
Somewhere over there.
It was over, yeah, it's over there, it's probably underneath there. But, and that game came out, and I was just like, oh yeah, I'll pay the $40, so now it's $50. Now it's a regular price game. And then it was like, you know, it was a $60 game for something that was a straight sequel. In the purest sense.
So basically it was an expansion pack?
It was basically an expansion pack, but with updated graphics, and all the bug fixes were still in there. But it was only, you know, it was like a 3-hour game.
So, or you could say the fact, how about the other overhyped one, like Perfect Escape? I think Ryan would know this too. Aliens, Colonial Marines were like...
Ryan knows that biblically.
Where Gearbox was basically... Like, I saw interviews and saw stuff online where Gearbox is calling us, yep, we're sticking true to the alien things. This is going to be, like, unlike any other alien experience ever. That basically word got out, it's shit! And everyone's like, oh, no. Like, they...
Yeah.
I was told that game was shit, and I immediately transferred.
Well, that was what it was. It's like Gearbox basically promoted, this is like, this is different than the other Alien games. This is an actual real Alien game. And I think a lot of the fact that, I think the fact that...
That good press didn't work for them, though.
No, and I feel that's why people are kind of in, like, the Dragon Age Inquisition mode for Alien Isolation. They're like, yeah, this looks good, but we've been lied before. Look at Colonial Marines. Like, you know.
Even though it's a different developer, yeah.
Yeah.
Once you get burned once.
They're being very respectful, but they're very much out there basically saying, screw those guys, we're not making that game.
Yeah.
You know, they're not throwing them under the bus, but they're like, no, this is based on Alien, guys.
What do you get a game that's good but never gets any publicity, or a game that I feel like it's buggy at first, but like, and then people hold it against a game that's kind of buggy at first, but when the patch...
It's one of the reasons I hate Metascores.
So that like 30 or 20 something.
A Metascore will show you like an Obsidian or Bethesda game when it first came out. Everyone knows those types of games are better 6 months later when they've had like 3 DLC packs and like 6 patches to the bugs.
Well, like my perfect example, Alpha Protocol. That's one of my favorite RPGs of all time. I feel it did the RPG thing better than Mass Effect did, and I'm a huge Mass Effect fan, but like people are like, "Oh, it's glitchy. Oh, it's buggy." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's not anymore. Obsidian got the things for it, and it's really like
Fallout 3."
Yeah, exactly. Like
Fallout 3 now, if you go on Steam and buy the complete collection, you're going to have a very different experience than I had when I first played Fallout 3, which was vanilla. Yeah. And then as the DLC packs came out, like just having Brotherhood of Steel, that DLC, the last DLC one, just having that installed so that there's no end game and the level cap is up another 10 levels, that just turns the whole game into like Fallout Skyrim. Like before, if you played that initially, when you got to the end, there was like a cinematic, and then that was it, and you could reload a save before you did the last mission. And if you wanted to do the other DLC, you would have to reload a save before the last mission to play that DLC.
Yeah.
Once that one came out, though, it was more like what you expect now. Maybe at the end, it's like when you die, it's like, and then you woke up.
Yeah, it's just. But yeah, like we were coming.
Or you could like send Faust in there or something. Like when you first played that game, you'd be standing there next to one of your radiation immune characters, and you'd be like, "Hey, can you go hit that switch?" And they'd be like, "No, this is your journey."
All right, so
and you'd be like, "What? Come on,
guys! We got about 15."
You could have a Mr. Gutsy robot who does not care about radiation at all, and it would be like, "Nope, can't do it."
Guys, we have about 15 minutes left, and I do want to like kind of bring this back into my wheelhouse a little bit because now I'm a gamer, but I'm a filthy casual gamer.
How dare you?
I know. How dare I?
But is there such a thing?
Yes.
Do you also molest kids on the weekend too?
I don't understand these titles that everybody's throwing out.
Would anyone argue that Angry Birds is like one of the poster children for the casual game?
No, I wouldn't argue.
No one would argue that, right?
No.
What if I told you I know people who are far more hardcore at Angry Birds than me? You know, I play like 5 levels of Angry Birds, and I'm like, all right, I'm tapped out. I'm not getting anywhere. And I turn it off, and I'm like, oh, dirty casual game. But I know people who, like, they hit that threshold that I hit, and they break through it. And they unlock 100 levels in those games. They bought all the Angry Bird games, Angry Birds Rio, Star Wars 1, Star Wars 2.
Ryan.
You know, Bad Piggies.
Ryan.
Is that any less hardcore?
Ryan, there's no such
thing. Unlocking, like.
There's no such thing as a casual game. There are such things as casual gamers.
Okay.
Casual gamers like me who will sit there and will play an hour or two of Titanfall or an hour or two of, you know, this or that game, depending.
So what's defining the?
I guess you're kind of making my point actually.
Well, because
where it's like, I mean, you know, on the surface, if you were just to stand in a group with us, people would probably point at you, look at your game collection, definitely say hardcore gamer. But you're professing yourself as your casual gamer. And by the same token, I work with a lady who's definitely not someone who would call herself a gamer, who got super into Candy Crush, beat every single level in Candy Crush.
Well, I think where you're coming from, too, Ted.
By me, like, veteran puzzle gamer, I got stuck around level, like, 38 and said, fuck this.
I'm on, like, level 150-something.
She beat, like, level 300-something or whatever they put out. They kept putting out content packs. She cleared them all.
Well, I think
she played that casual game hardcore.
So, like, are you defining this by, like, how much, how many games you play, how much effort you put into it, or
it's,
how many
yeah,
games
how
you
much...
actually have? Well, I mean, is all this...
I guess it's effort and immersion?
I think
yeah.
there's
Maybe?
Also, like, this hater community, too, that, like, I hate using the term hater, but there's these communities that...
It's applicable.
Of, like, these hipsters or stuff that don't like a game or hate a game because it's mainstream and to look at them, like... That's a casual game, like, perfect example. Look at the backlash of the Call of Duty Battlefield thing. Some people say, oh, that's a game that only frat boys with pop collars named Jesse and Cody play. They don't play any other game, you know what I mean? Like,
here's the other thing.
Yeah, I had an argument with someone because they said something like, I don't play those crappy dude bro kind of games like Call of Duty, Battlefield, Gears of War, Mass Effect. And I was like, whoa. One of these things is not like the others.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
But here's the other thing. All right.
That's like saying I don't play Contra, Metal Slug, Chrono Trigger.
You guys could, you know,
Final Fantasy.
I think yeah, you know? A majority of people out there that play video games are casual gamers. They may be hardcore into one thing, but you know what? I am a hardcore collector. Besides Twilight Princess, I own every single Legend of Zelda. Game that there is. I even own the never been removed from box Legend of Zelda original one gold cartridge. You know, I mean, fuck it. I got the. I now have the Triforce on the back on my back, tattooed on my back. So, am I a hardcore?
You don't have Twilight Princess?
I don't. I still got to buy it again.
It was
a dumb decision, but
I've had every Metal Gear Solid
but
game
if
that's ever been made.
Yeah.
But I don't consider myself hardcore.
But you know what? And you look at me, I got the fucking Triforce tattooed on my back. But I'm not I'm not going to say that I'm a hardcore gamer just because of my love for one series. And I'm not going to say it because, you know, but if there's anything that I can say that I'm hardcore into, would be...
I feel like you're a social gamer. Would that be fair?
Yeah, more social gamer than anything.
You like a lot of multiplayer stuff. You like to play with your friends and get better at them and compete.
Yeah.
More so, like, you know, when I gave you Mass Effect, I was like, Ted, play this for the story. You know, that was a bit of an error because that single-player experience isn't necessarily what you're into.
Yeah.
So then how are you defining a casual gamer?
Well, I know where Ryan's...
But I don't know that that makes you a casual necessarily, but...
Social and casual, isn't it like... Isn't that within the same realm?
You can be a hardcore social gamer.
Well, I know.
No, I'm saying like you can be a social player and still be a casual gamer.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's still in the same realm.
I know.
Well,
yeah,
but I mean, it's kind of
because like I play multiplayer all the time, but like,
yeah,
it's not the only thing I do.
But you can also be like a hardcore gamer and be a social gamer as well. You know, those kids that were on Titanfall the first week and are already Gen 10s. You know.
Oh man, I was in matchmaking and there were like three. There was me, another like a Gen 3 and another Gen 2, and then there was like three on the other side and it was like a Gen 4 and two Gen 8s, and then three people came in all on the other side and it was like a Gen 10. I was like, "There's a Gen 10?"
Yeah.
But it was like two of them and then like a Gen 9, and then on my side they just filled in like three never Gen 1s middle of the rank, like must have just got the game 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, it was Capture the Flag. I was like, this is not going to go well.
But there's something to be said for that, Ted, because, like, you, like, with the whole social gamer, like, I prefer more, like, a single-player experience. Like, I like single-player. Don't get me wrong. I like playing, like, with people or cooperatively and stuff, but, like, I more enjoy, like, the single-player experience and all that, because there are times which I'm playing the Xbox, and James, like... My girlfriend's like, oh, do you want to play, you know, like, because I have two-player games, so me and her can play. She goes, oh, do you want to fire up Gears of War, or do you want to play, Army of Two or something like that? And I'm, like, sitting there playing, I don't know, probably, like, Dragon Age Origins or Mass Effect. I'm like,
Dragon Age, yeah.
Do I have to? Or, like, I don't know. Or, like, and she's the same way, too, where... She'll play Mass Effect 2, and I'm like, hey, Jane, you want to pop in Army of 2? I'm in the middle of motion. She goes, I'm on Horizon right now. Can I wait till tomorrow?
Well,
I have that problem just with friends, period, sometimes. Yeah. Like, I'll be playing something, and I'll be like, you know, who wants to go on some Mass Effect 3 or something like that? And I'll be like, Chris is like, Pacelli's playing, like, Terraria. And he's like,
Yeah.
Well, for me, To me, it depends on what day it is. Because, like, yeah. I like playing single-player games, co-op games, multiplayer games. I like it all, really, depending on what game it is. So I guess you can say I'm a casual gamer who likes a lot of genres. Yeah. So I don't know. I like social as well, but, like, extreme, I think, when I think of extreme, it's like, oh, you're getting, like, you're buying games, you're looking up information online about the game, you're getting the book about the game and all this other stuff, and you're just going a little bit overboard for my taste. So, like, that's what I consider extreme.
Here's a question. Does the fact that I like stories and world building make me inherently more hardcore?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking.
I'm into the Shin Megami Tensei and Persona series, and I'm into the lore and how the games link together, and I do external reading on them, and like, I would definitely say I'm a pretty hardcore Pokemon player.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'm that... Like, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a hardcore Titanfall player. Like, I'm trying. I'm ranking up. I'm going to hit my second gen up, so I'll be a Gen 3 soon. But, you know, I shouldn't be entering a tournament.
So, like,
for damn sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Half,
like,
the reason I want to rank up is now just so I'll get confidence points against the enemy team, and hopefully they'll play shitty. Because it happens on the other way. You see, like, a Gen 8, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Then,
like, you're just not in it. Your heart's not in the fight because you're expecting to lose. So I'm like, maybe if I can get up to, like, Gen 6, people will see me in a match and it'll, like, take confidence from them.
You're right.
Even though that just means I played the game steadily for 2 months. That's the only thing that means. Doesn't mean I'm awesome.
You're right, though, Ryan, where it's like, so, like, with Ted, too. Like, he likes Zelda. He collects the whole thing as Zelda. Like, me, it's like, I would call myself, like, hardcore or anything. I'm like, I'm the type of guy, like, where my girlfriend goes to work at 5:30, and if I can't sleep and I want to go back to sleep, I'll just go on my Kindle, go on YouTube, hit up, Mass Effect 1 Codex, and listen to the Codex until I go to sleep. That, you know, I'm, you know,
yeah.
Something like that. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's...
I bought the app on iPad for the Mass Effect 3 Codex, and I listened to the whole thing, then went to the other files, and then when I found stuff that didn't work, I went to the Mass Effect Wiki.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Well, so yeah, you're all hardcore for Skyrim.
People
talk.
Say Skyrim has a crappy story, and I was like, you're just not paying attention.
I agree.
I want to say that.
I agree with that.
You know, and just because I feel like I'm a casual gamer, I feel like I'm also a hardcore superhero movie guy.
Yeah.
Like Ryan and I do the fucking Left 4 Dead extras,
the spoiler cast,
cast all the time. Just talking and getting in depth about not just the story wise of, you know, how it goes through the comics, because I'm not the big comic guy. I'm getting into the comics.
Yeah, I probably bring more of the
comic
stuff to those.
But
which would be really good if we got like Mitch on there, you know?
Yeah.
So I would be
an extreme. He's supposed to be, but it never works out.
So I would be an extreme anime guy.
Yeah, because everybody's like hardcore to different things. Like, you're hardcore to anime. I'm hardcore to Mass Effect. Ted's hardcore to Zelda. I don't think I don't think you could call anybody a hardcore gamer or a hardcore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because to me, it was like, it sounds like a meaningless title. Because, like, does that mean you. Because, like, it seems like, do you play every game hardcore? Is this like, do you do all this stuff hardcore? And it's like, it just seems pretty meaningless.
No, but you're right, though. There, you hit the nail on the head with that, Nick, because, like, I find myself, like, I'll play a game like, I love Dragon Age, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Dragon Age is what probably my top 10, but I did not get into, like, the lore as much as I got into, like, a Dark Souls lore or a Mass Effect lore or even, or Alpha Protocol lore. I didn't get into it like those type of, it depends, like, what, like you said, you could play games and enjoy them, but then there are games that you play them and enjoy them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
I tried, and the story things I liked, I actually had a lot of trouble with the gameplay of Alpha Protocol.
Yeah?
It felt kind of like a glitchy MGS to me.
I just enjoyed for, like I said, like...
And I feel like maybe I didn't play long enough to fully appreciate, even though, like, I played for hours, but, like, when I kept hearing, like, the way, like, the fans do, like, the way you talk about it,
yeah,
the way they do the RPG stuff, I just felt like I kept... Every time I'd get through a crappy MGS segment, I'd wind up back in that hub hotel room talking to, like, one dude on a monitor screen and then back to another. And I was like, where's the part where I'm, like, romancing super spies and influencing the plot?
I must be forgetting about what this game is, because I'm mixing it with
Alpha Protocol?
Yes.
It's like an espionage RPG.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not like I deleted my save. I actually do kind of want to try it again at some point, because that game goes for, like, $10 now.
Yeah.
So even though I wound up selling it,
so it's like
because,
special.
It wasn't like I sold it because screw this game, I'm going to sell it, because obviously you're not going to get much for it. It was one of those things where if you sell games that are worth more than $2, if in enough quantity, GameStop will give you an extra $15 credit kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was, like, looking for six games, and that was, like, game number five.
Yep.
I was like, eh.
All right, guys.
$2, that'll get me an extra 30, you know?
Yeah,
we got to head out. A couple of things I want to say. Next week we'll have a regular show. We're going to try to keep this to the hour and a half time limit.
Okay.
Like last week, please go visit the Northford Magic Table over at the Northford Potato and Corn Festival coming this summer. I'll get more details about that. Haven't seen the woman who's been contacting us from Northford Magic.
If you like potatoes and corn, it's a place for you.
Yep. But yeah, Northford Magic. She's just go say hi to Connie. She's got purses and soap dispensers made out of recycling Jack Daniel's bottles.
Yes.
Which Nick still has to help me finish a bottle for.
Oh yeah, you reminded me. Good.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see or we'll talk to you guys next week. We should have a good show next week.
And, see you later.
This was good.
Have a good.
Yeah, this was good.
I liked this. Nice. This was very good.
It was fun just having kind of a round table. Kind of felt like the giant Bombcast.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys. Bye.
Take it easy.
You just listened to a Hybrid Works Network podcast. Don't you feel good about yourself now? No? Oh, sorry.